Chapter 2
Obi-Wan had always assumed he was not meant to have a soulmate. In his late teenage years and early 20s, when Force Geese started manifesting to terrorize other Jedi his age, he had waited cautiously. Master Qui-Gon had told him he had received his Force Goose by 18, but that was all Obi-Wan had ever been able to get out of his master on the subject in his entire apprenticeship besides the implication that something had gone wrong. So Obi-Wan never pushed, and he sat, and he waited. No goose ever came. He had only been disappointed by this once, when he had fallen hopelessly and completely in love with Satine Kryze during his time as her bodyguard, who had never received a goose of her own either. The pair of them had danced around the topic, both hoping against all hope that the Force would intervene and validate what would otherwise have to end as a bittersweet possibility. They had counted down the days, hanging on to hope that what if, maybe, until the final day arrived and he was forced to leave her. No goose ever came. Afterwards, he had been understandably put off towards the idea of another soulmate, and by the time he had come to acceptance with his heart, soulmates in general had just never held appeal. Then, he was getting older, and now Anakin was in his life, and there really was no time for soulmates, not with Anakin taking up his every priority. He had mostly let the idea go by then, not terribly disappointed. He had his knighthood, he had the other Jedi, he had Anakin. He could do what he loved, helping people. No need for anyone to come popping up out of nowhere and derail both of their lives. No need to have another person to worry over, not when he was already stressing enough to keep Anakin from being the next link on the chain of people who tended to die horribly after getting remotely close to him. As far as he knew, Satine still hadn't received a goose before she died. Anakin didn't seem particularly eager for a goose either, had hardly asked questions about them while younger, besides the standard, did Obi-Wan ever have one, and so on. Obi-Wan figured this was for the best. He knew his friend was head over heels for Padme Amidala, and if either of them received Force Geese now that weren't each other, he couldn't even imagine the drama that would go down. For their sakes, he hoped Geese never came to them. Anakin and Padme were happy, truly happy, and in this time of war, who was he to try and interfere with what kept light in Anakin's eyes? He didn't know how this war was going to end for anyone, least of all himself, but he was determined that they, at least, two kind, brilliant people, would finish it alive and safe and free to spend their lives together. He could do that much for friends. Obi-Wan's goose, that had established itself as his pillow, rumbled beneath his head, and he wrinkled his nose. The birds truly did smell. Then again, so do I, likely, having been cooped up in here for so long. The other goose draped across his back, parked its head up with a muted Obi-Wan, craning his neck to see the shining black eyes staring in the direction of his cell door. Replied the pillow goose, sticking its neck out as well, vibrating with increasing intensity. Obi-Wan blinked, the likely concussion causing him to take a second longer to figure out what had agitated them, before the clanking noise of the security droids were heard outside the door. The geese let out growls in unison, and Obi-Wan tensed, having a very uncertain feeling about all of this. He was fine, but he would still rather avoid getting hit by the droid again for unsanctioned visitors if entirely possible. "That should be my meal of the day," he faux-joked, running a hand over the bristling one above him's feathers in an effort to soothe it. "I warn you, it's only one ration bar, so I hope you don't require food." Oof! He winced as the one goose kicked off his injured chest and went shooting across the room, ramming into the metal door with an almighty shuddering clank. Obi-Wan jumped at the noise, the other goose taking his movement to gently slip out from under his head and tear off to join his twin. Bringing his cuffed hands up to try and plug his ears, Obi-Wan grit his teeth as the clamor reverberated through his aching head, preparing to face the droid guard that would undoubtedly be coming in through the door now to check the commotion. Sure enough, there was a click of the cell door lock, and these geese jumped backwards with dual hisses, wings raised threateningly to face the massive droid shadowing the doorway. "Two unidentified life forms detected," the droid said passionlessly, lifting a fist. "Hold on," said Obi-Wan, trying in vain to think. "Mama!" chorused the geese angrily, moving at light speed right for the droid's neck. Together, the geese made it quick. Obi-Wan sat back, watching helplessly with the sensation of his mouth hanging further and further open while ducking the occasional flying piece of machinery. Every once in a while, he even found himself wincing in sympathy, despite the droid having beat him previously. At the end, his geese came waddling back to him, one holding the still-sparking head of the droid in his mouth. Chirped the goose with its mouth empty, giving Obi-Wan's boot a nibble. The other rumbled and plopped the droid's head in his lap. Obi-Wan couldn't help but sigh, feeling the ache of a smile spreading across his bruised face for the first time since he had been captured. That was... You know, I feel the pair of you would get along terribly well with my friend Anakin. The geese began flapping their wings frantically at this, hopping from one webbed foot to webbed foot. Obi-Wan blinked. Is that a yes? You would like to meet my friend? Or on, if I introduce you, you would likely go for his face? The geese squawked, bobbing their heads up and down. I see, Obi-Wan lied, fiddling with the droid head in his lap and wondering whether he should be concerned for Anakin's future safety. How was Anakin going to react to his pair of force geese? He'd probably insist on hunting my soulmate down himself, if only because he makes it his business to know all of my business, he realized with an affectionate snort, finger fiddling with the loose wire. The wire sparked. Ha! Huh, an idea. Obi-Wan's body screaming and his head rushing slightly as he dragged himself to his feet. He smiled as when he wobbled, his hand tried out to catch a round, feathered head supporting him from the side. Thank you, friend. I suppose it's not too much to ask if you left the severed arms mostly functional. Together, Obi-Wan and the geese shuffled around the room that wasn't so dark with the door letting light from the hallway in. Obi-Wan, begrudgingly thankful to his captors for having the decency to make his chain stretch to the doorway for him, to retrieve his food. Eventually, he found one arm and flung it into the far corner, wincing again as he bent to pick it up. Now, he murmured, poking around in the arm mechanisms, looking for the key that should extend to unlock his cuffs. Let's see about getting out of here before this unfortunate fellow's friends decide to come looking for him. Padme allowed her two terror birds to drag her up the steps of the Republic shipyards, for once in perfect agreement with them over where exactly she needed to be. Almost directly after her and Anakin's brief confirmations that they both possessed two geese, her comm beeped in with a message from Mon that she was going to have to take. They had confirmed that Anakin was coming back to Coruscant and agreed to catch up in person as soon as they could, to vanish the geese and to celebrate. Though Anakin had made a face at this and told her he would explain when he got back. Padme had the rest of the next day to deal with the honking menaces creating a mess of her apartments, tearing holes in two more of her outfits, trying to actually bodily drag her out the door at one point, and generally making sure she got little to no work done for the rest of the day. Yodeling angry at her and making it crystal clear just how much they did not want to be staying trapped inside. Having had to reschedule a holocall with the Queen of Naboo, and still not receiving a response from Palpatine about the apology for the goose assassination attempt, Padme had settled for takeout delivery from an unhealthy space pizza place she hadn't eaten the likes of in years, and went for the world's quickest shower as the geese made their best efforts to beat down her fresher door, after she had closed the thing on one's head at least 5 times trying to kick them out of the fresher in the first place. As she lay in bed that night, rather bruised and one eye on the geese taking turns honking at her from the foot of her bed and occasionally biting at her foot, Padme had used this time that would not be spent sleeping to study her geese. Plural. 2. They looked identical, as all force geese were, and to Padme's observation, as of yet acted identically in their righteous force-blessed rage. Still, she tried to pin at least one of their characteristics on Anakin, thinking that if she knew which goose was meant for him, she could try and study the other and figure out the unknown identity of soulmate number 2. As much as raid-filled shameless public assassination attempt did seem her husband's style, Palpatine was Anakin's good friend, so she wasn't sure if Separatist Goose was his or not. Oh, she hoped their third wasn't a Separatist. She was sure they could work something out, but it would certainly make things difficult. Her eyes had just started to drift shut as she imagined the kind of person that would perfectly balance out both Anakin and herself, only to shoot awake once more at a vindictive... Now, one of her geese let out a slow growling noise and tried to charge one of the Coruscant guards stationed out front, who, Padme was amused to notice, took a hasty step back and clutched his weapon. No! Padme hissed back at it, wrenching the leash and the goose backward. Snapped the other goose, biting at her pant leg. Said the guard trooper. This is a restricted area, ma'am. Can I help you? Padme pulled her hood off to reveal her face. I'm a member of the Republic Senate. I have clearance. She smiled at the clone, fumbling with her geese leash to snag her ID from her belt, and hand it over. My soulmate will be arriving on one of the incoming military ships within the hour. Gods, calling Anakin her soulmate made her feel lightheaded with happiness. She hoped this was just a side effect that would fade after knowing for more than 24 hours, or she might be in danger of passing out. Ah, Senator Amidala, my apologies, the clone replied, scanning her ID and handing it back to her. Oh, my One of Padme's geese had jumped up and snapped at the clone's fingers as he finished returning the ID, latching on while the guy yelled until Padme leaned over and wrenched its head away. I am so sorry about that. No worries, ma'am. I've had run-ins with these suckers before. This isn't anything. Say, is this the one that tried to off the Chancellor? Padme felt her cheeks heat while the poor trooper instantly started spluttering out horrified apologies. Oh, gods, no, I didn't mean to. I meant, no, it's just that. The trooper sighed, helmet drooping down. We watched the news. I'm sorry to bring it up, Senator. Of course, I know it was an accident. My sincerest apologies for speaking out of line. Don't worry about it, Padme promised. It was sensational, and likely half of the galaxy is aware by now. Of course you knew. She peered down at where the geese had taken a moment from attacking her or the guard to groom one another. I actually can't remember which one attacked him. They're identical. The trooper let out a laugh, drenched in relief. That's a shame. Well, for the Republic's sake. Let's hope your soulmate coming in today belongs to the treasonous bird, so us guards have one less threat to the Chancellor to worry about, yeah? Unless they're both coming in. Padme chuckled back, even as her geese let out twin honk hisses. Just one of them, to my knowledge. Both the geese have been quite eager to leave, though. I think either one would make things far easier.
Can't say I disagree with you, ma'am, the trooper replied, saluting and stepping to the side. Do you need someone to walk you to where the Resolute usually docks?
Padme shook her head, digging in her heels as her arms strained to keep the geese from immediately bolting through the entrance. No, I've been here before, but thank you. The clone nodded at her, and Padme finally let herself be dragged off into a power walk as her geese went on the hunt. It only vaguely occurred to her that she shouldn't recall telling the guard that her soulmate was on the Resolute specifically, but she brushed it off as it likely being the only ship scheduled to land around this time. As she made her way through the shipyards, her geese grew increasingly louder and more frantic in their honk chorus, but decreasingly violent, flapping their wings and bellowing at anyone else who walked too close. But as long as Padme let them steer, so to speak, they were content with almost pulling her arms out of their sockets. She drew more stares and whispers, but military personnel were trained to be less open in their gossip than the Senate crowd, so she received no further harassment, although she did catch several variations of attack on the Chancellor. Looked like she wouldn't be living that one down for likely the rest of her time in office. Reaching the area where the Star Destroyer was to dock, Padme found a cluster of storage crates and, goose-pecked to the knee from this morning still particularly achy, turned to her geese and negotiated the rights to sit and relax on the crates while they perched on top and roared hatred down on anyone who walked too close past them. Padme had timed this perfectly, as she was waiting only 15 minutes or so before the bustle of the crowd began to increase and she could see the Star Destroyer melting out of the clouds and making its way to the unloading platform. The geese began to howl, feathers flying everywhere, causing the crates to rattle and drawing almost everyone's attention. Frantically shushing them, Padme drew them towards her, wincing as she caught a wing upside the head and claws dug into her thigh.
Hey, hey, hey! Let's wait for him to land and get off first!
Somehow, the geese listened to her, settling in her lap and vibrating intensely as they watched the looming shadow reach the platform and the first members of the 501st start to disembark in routine lines. Or the lines were routine, until a loud, shrieking ruckus could be heard echoing out of the ship. Troopers paused in their steps to turn around and look over their shoulders, only for the entire line to topple like dominoes as an explosion of black blur and gray feathers shot out of the ship, landing on the platform ground in a tangle of limbs and demonic honks and beaks and pained cries. To Padme's horror, one of her geese heads shot up, gave a firm
of awareness, and then her pair of winged menaces were flying across the platform at light speed for the ball of feathers and limbs that shouted over the din.
Damn it, Ahsoka! I thought you were supposed to be holding one! Ow! I was holding it!
As Padme began to sprint over to rescue her husband, she could see Ahsoka Tano vaulting out of the ship, one arm clutched to her side.
Until the stupid thing bit my hand again!
With Captain Rex on her heels, Ahsoka dove into the fray at the same time Padme's geese arrived, creating a larger pile of flailing bodies as Ahsoka and Rex tried to pry the geese off Anakin's prone form.
Hang the cark on! Did these things just multiply?
Rex was snapping, elbowing a snapping goose back away from him with a grunt as Padme skidded up to them.
Hey!
She said, but was drowned out by an angry bugle of one of the geese and thoroughly ignored.
Multiply? What?
Anakin was saying through a goose foot on his face. No, no, there's one, two, wait, three?
Padme?
At that, Anakin craned his head upwards, looking at her with a thunderstruck gape. Ahsoka, Rex, and all four of the geese froze. Said the goose currently in a half headlock courtesy of Ahsoka, unruffling its feathers and sitting down.
Oof!
Went Anakin as the two geese that were on top of him went limp. Padme took a breath, noting that even in this state of feathered dishevelment, Anakin still took her breath away.
Hey there, soulmate, she said with a smile threatening to split her face. Need some help there?
Anakin gave her a dazed smile back.
Hi, soulmate.
A goose honked in his face, before it, and the other stepped off him and let Padme pull Anakin to his feet.
My soulmate.
Oh, remembering something important, Padme reached into her belt and pulled out a small recording device, turning it on. She handed it to Rex, who took it with the hand that didn't have a goose attached to its arm.
Could you? She asked, gesturing to her and Anakin.
Rex nodded, pointing the recorder at them while Anakin said,
Huh?
Right as Padme reached up and pulled him down by the back of his neck into a soft kiss. For a moment, it was just the two of them, and then there was a loud, followed by a poof that made them both startle apart. The goose on Rex's arm and one of the ones sitting on Anakin had disappeared. Said the goose Ahsoka held. Said the goose Ahsoka held, nodding its head as if in agreement. The entire shipyard was staring at them. Arms still slung around her husband, Padme could feel his frame shaking with laughter.
Well then, Anakin remarked. Guess that's one.
Padme snorted. I guess so. She promptly pulled Anakin into another, more thorough kiss, and didn't break it when noise broke out this time, a massive round of applause and cheers and calls of congratulations. She could feel Anakin smiling against her mouth, only jerking away to glare at the crowd when someone let out a wolf whistle, followed by,
Get it, Senator!
Padme was giggling, feeling her own cheeks burn slightly as she turned to Rex, who handed her recorder back to her with a grin of his own.
Film the whole thing. Congratulations, ma'am.
Thank you, she replied, handing the recorder back into her belt pocket and securing the cover so she could transport it back to the temple. The Jedi had one more additional rule about soulmates. Given the steps they needed to take to protect Jedi soulmates from the potential liabilities of having a soul bond with someone in such a dangerous job at times, the Order required explicit proof that someone was a Jedi's other half. Anyone in the galaxy could lie their way up the steps of the temple and declare themselves a jilted soulmate of a knight who had kissed away their force geese and left before others could know. Therefore, each knight either had to bring their soulmates and geese to the temple and initiate the first kiss for record center, or, if the situation required getting rid of the geese straight away, documenting the kiss. The bottom line was the Order needed some way to see proof that Force Geese had led two or more specific souls together, and that the soul bond was real. Anakin looked back at Padme, face still adorably flushed. I figured we could walk this to the temple records together, she told him, still smiling. Anakin began to nod, before a dark shadow washed over his expression completely, eyes dull and jaw hardening.
Annie, what's wrong?
I'm really glad you came to see me, Anakin rasped, but you're going to have to handle the records yourself. I've got an urgent mission. I need to see the Council about it as quickly as possible.
Urgent? Okay,
Padme stammered, trying to push down the pang of hurt. This is what marrying a Jedi meant. Urgent commitments. Even on one of the most important days of both of your lives.
No, it's not. Anakin took her hand and walked them off, geese honking behind them, and plodding along with their goose feet.
"It's Obi-Wan," he said, brow pinched together. "Ah," Padme realized, "of course. He went missing days ago. We think someone took him," Anakin told her. "I'm being sent to look for him. I love you, Angel, and I'm so sorry, but I need to go as fast as I can. He broke off, not even flinching when one of the geese squawked and chomped on the back of his tabards, sitting down so Anakin had to drag it along.
"It's okay," Padme told him, running a soothing hand down his arm. Obi-Wan was different. The Jedi Master had become a good friend of her own, playing the role of the stable, constant presence throughout her time with Anakin, as they dragged each other into trouble of many names. Of course she couldn't get upset if Anakin was worried about Obi-Wan. Now she was beginning to worry about Obi-Wan. He and Anakin were so close. If Padme had ever dared put a name on the possibility of someone besides herself being Anakin's soulmate, she almost stumbled over her goose's long neck sticking out in front of her feet, thoughts scrambling and reassembling themselves in a picture that nearly caused her to trip again in shock. "We still have another goose. Another soulmate. Oh my gods! What if..."
The geese had not enjoyed the speeder ride to the temple, Padme and Anakin electing to sit together and restrain the birds in a bruising group hug that no one enjoyed, while Ahsoka drove rather pale-knuckled, using all the tricks Anakin had taught her to break several traffic laws without getting caught. As much of a massive weight off his chest it was to know that his beloved wife was his soulmate, and that he no longer had to hide her anymore. Though apparently he hadn't been doing a very good job of it anyway, if his men's complete lack of surprise, combined with Rex's firm denial of saying anything to anyone, and Ahsoka's, "No, Sky Guy, Rex didn't tell anyone. You're just bad at this." Anakin's mind couldn't help but dwell on how long it had taken to pack up and leave Agamar, how long it took to get here, however long the council would make him sit while they talked to him, before he finally would be allowed to go find Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan, who had been missing now for almost a week. Exhaling deeply, Anakin dodged another beak going for his nose and a honk to his face. Slender fingers wrapped around his own through the goose hug, and Anakin met Padme's warm brown eyes. "You're going to find him," she told him. "It will be fine. You will find him, and he will be all right, and you will bring him home. I believe this." Anakin squeezed her hand. "Thanks, Pads." One goose snapped at his ear again. Upon their arrival at the temple, the guards watching them did some double takes at the sight of Anakin's and Padme's geese, straining at their geese leashes as Anakin walked Padme to the point where they'd have to split up, for him to the council chamber, and her to the temple archives, where she would present them with the video of their kiss, and register herself and Anakin as soulmates. It felt strange, being able to walk through the Jedi temple openly holding his wife's hand after years of secrecy, like he had forgotten to put clothes on when he woke up and was now walking naked. It didn't feel bad, though, he thought as he saw Padme yanking her goose away from where it took a lunge at a gaggle of passing younglings and give them a gracious, apologetic smile. But still, even with Padme glowing radiantly and the light streaming through the windows, he couldn't enjoy it without the dark pit in his gut churning uneasily. He felt guilty. Here should be one of the happiest days of his life, and he couldn't even enjoy it with his master in trouble. He was making doe eyes at his soulmate while Obi-Wan could be... "This is where we split, right?" Padme asked him, stopping them at where they indeed needed to part ways. When Anakin just gave her a mute nod, she sighed and wrapped him into a brief, tight embrace. "I'll wait for you when I'm done registering," she murmured in his ear. "I know you'll likely be headed straight back out to search for him, but I can walk you to where you need to go, yeah?" Padme's goose started tugging at the bottom of her tunic, and she absently batted its head away, her face not losing its concerned look. "Yeah," Anakin managed, trying to offer a weak smile that turned into a grimace when his goose bellowed loudly and latched onto his metal hand again. "See you then." Anakin felt ready to vibrate right out of his skin as he took the lift up to the council chamber, his goose not helping at all as it tried to eat the buttons and nailing him firmly in the shin when he tried to stop it. Eventually wrestling it into a semblance of submission, through gratuitous geese-leash tying and hoisting it under his arm, Anakin walked right into the council chamber and bowed to the masters like he wasn't holding a quietly hissing demon. It seemed news of his and Padme's display at the dock hadn't reached council ears just yet, as he could see raised eyebrows and sense sparks of surprise in the Force at his unexpected company. "Good afternoon, Masters."
"Night Skywalker," Yoda rumbled, ears twitching. "Your pardon, I beg, but swore I did that during our holocall, 2 Force Geese you had."
Anakin nodded, ready to get the necessary explanation over with so he could go look for Obi-Wan.
"Yes, Master Yoda, there were 2, but when I landed today, I ran into one of my soulmates, Senator Padme Amidala. Her geese had led her right to me, and as 2 geese can be a challenge."
At this, his goose gave an indignant squawk.
"We decided to drop the number down to 1 as quickly as possible. We recorded the kiss, and she's down in the archives now getting us registered."
"The Force has blessed your souls. May your bond prosper."
T spoke the traditional words, the other council members adding in their own murmurs of subdued congratulations. None of them seemed overly shocked at this news, however, and Anakin chose to see this as them simply having good Sabacc faces.
Force, but it felt good to say that to them, that he was destined to be with Padme Amidala, and there was nothing these old farts could do to stop it.
Anakin's goose bit him in the arm, the pain refocusing him.
"No, gloat later. Obi-Wan needed help now."
"Thank you, Masters," he said.
"Now, about Obi-Wan? You said I was being called back to help look for him."
There were shared glances that Anakin did not like at all.
"Yes," Monday began. "As of now, we've still received no contact with Master Kenobi, or any indication of where exactly he is."
"But," Wendu added, "Republic Intelligence has picked up reports on the black market, someone posting vague advertisements about an auction coming up involving a high-ranking Republic captive with valuable information."
"That has to be him," Anakin declared, ready to run.
"Maybe so," Windu said annoyingly.
"The rumor trail has been traced back to an event of some sorts, happening in the Rakasa system, on the planet Casa Major."
Anakin's goose butt in.
"Shush," Windu told the goose.
Anakin had to stifle a snort as his goose, not impressed, strained in his arms and let out 2 short honks in Windu's direction that sounded distinctively like fuck off. Something coming to mind, Anakin blinked, bringing up his mental map of the galaxy.
"Wait, the Rakasa system is in the Corsa sector. It's practically right next door."
"Which is why uncertain we are that there Kenobi is," Yoda said.
"Master Kenobi was last seen above Dantooine," Balaba pointed out. "I don't doubt that he could have been moved halfway across the galaxy in almost a week, but it seems rather unwise to publicly hold a Jedi in a location that close to the Order. If whoever we're dealing with possesses the skill to capture someone of Obi-Wan's capabilities, it makes sense to assume they would know this."
"Anything is possible," Windu retorted. Still, Anakin noticed in delight, locked in a staring match with the goose. "It is the most likely lead we have at the moment."
"We want you to go to Casa Major immediately," Mundi told him. "See if there's anyone there, and if you can find Obi-Wan, extract him before all kinds of unwanted attention is attracted for his auction. Your personal experience with the Onaka pirate crew means we don't need to tell you just how sideways a hostage situation can go."
Anakin winced at the reminder of his and Obi-Wan's terrible adventure with Dooku and Hondo, his goose making a waffled honking sound that sounded like laughter.
"No, I understand.
However," Windu added, breaking contact with the goose to stare judgmentally at Anakin instead,
"this is supposed to be a stealth operation. While it is better that you only have the 1 now, we have some doubts that this assignment would be best suited for
a goose," Yoda finished, "and leave it behind you cannot."
"What? No,"
Anakin protested, ignoring the angry looks of warning he received in response.
"No, listen, you all know the rules about the geese. They bother you, but if they understand that you're in a situation where you can't go looking for your soulmate this very second, they wait it out. I'll be able to do it just fine."
Anakin shook his goose at them with an indignant honk.
"It'll behave." Dodging another snap of the toothed beak, he added, "This one might even give me some backup if there's a fight."
"And what of your other soulmate, who the goose belongs to?" T asked, cocking her head as she examined the furious bundle of feathers. "They are likely being just as encouraged by their goose as you are to find you. Would you want to risk a civilian getting led unknowingly into this situation?"
Anakin stifled a growl. His goose did not. "As far as I'm aware, the geese like to lead you down the easiest possible path to find your soulmate.
Senator Amidala will be staying right here on Coruscant. I'm sure our third geese will much prefer to lead them towards her, as opposed to into a hostage situation with me. He was still seeing uncertain looks everywhere he turned, so he added, ashamed at the desperate note sounding in his voice, I can do this, Masters. Let me bring him home safe, please.
Believe I do that do it you can.
Yoda spoke up finally, and Anakin almost let his goose go in relief, ignoring the uncertain grumbling noises from the other masters.
Head for Casa Maja straight away, you will?
As soon as we're done here, Master, Anakin promised. Mace cleared his throat. Well then, don't let us keep you. All relevant mission information will be forwarded to your datapad. We're trusting you with this, Skywalker. Understood, Anakin said, dipping his head in a quick bow. Masters. He stuffed his metal hand back into his goose's snapping maw and turned to walk away, only for the voice of Plo Koon to sound behind him.
Oh, and do give Senator Amidala our congratulations. We hope you two will no longer feel the need to sneak around everyone else anymore.
Anakin dropped his goose, who landed with a dismayed squawk and instantly sunk its teeth into his calf. Ignoring the pain, he whirled around.
What?
He squawked. He was met with 11 innocent, oblivious stares.
Say something, did we?
Yoda asked, tilting his head, ears twitching. I didn't hear anything, Fisto offered. Mace Windu, honest to stars, snorted, covering his mouth elegantly and raising a brow at Anakin. Well, shouldn't you be off? Anakin spluttered, feeling half ready to explode and send everyone in this damn room out the window with him. How many people fucking knew about...
Did everyone? Did Obi-Wan know?
Anakin's goose tugged his pant leg towards the door with a muffled honk. Right, Anakin decided with a nod, not going to touch any of this with a 10-foot pole.
He just wasn't.
Not dealing with this, no sir. He spun around and limped off for the lift with the goose snapping at his heels teasingly. Before the council door shut, he swore he could hear Monday's voice.
That wasn't very nice, Plo.
Funny it was, Yoda's voice sounded as the doors hissed closed. Anakin's jaw clenched.
Nope.
He met Padme in the hallway on the way out, her hauling of the goose on its leash as it slid across the floor, growling and apparently deciding it did not want to move. He swooped down and gave her a brief peck on the lips. They have a suspicion where he is. We're short on time. I'm going to leave now to go find him. And this guy, Anakin prodded at the goose with his foot, receiving a pissy bugle in reply, is going to come with me and behave. Anakin stared the goose right in the eye, daring it to argue.
Don't try me. Soulmates can wait until after I've found him.
Something flashed across Padme's expression that Anakin could not name.
Okay, she told him, stroking his cheek. You go find him. I'll look for our third soulmate.
Actually, I was hoping you'd stay here, Anakin told her. At Padme's raised brow, he added, if our third soulmate is looking for us too, their geese should be leading them to the easiest target. I don't want their geese to follow me and drag them into whatever mess Obi-Wan's gotten stuck in. If you stayed here as easy goose bait.
Goose bait? You know what I mean.
Anyway, if you stayed on planet and just waited, our soulmate would probably come to you. Padme's eyes narrowed, and her goose at her feet honked accusingly at Anakin.
Please, Pads, Anakin begged. I'm already worried about what could have happened to him since I can't feel him through the bond. I don't want to be worrying about anyone else or multiple people could get hurt.
All right, Annie, Panakin soothed, raising her hands. I'll make sure our soulmate can find me. Just focus on Obi-Wan, okay? Anakin wilted in relief.
Thank you. I love you.
Padme gave him another brief kiss.
I love you too. Now go. We'll be fine.
She tried to pat her goose's head, only to yelp as it nipped at her fingers.
We'll be fine, she repeated, smiling with a wince.
Anakin shot her a grateful grin, kicking his goose free of where it was gnawing at his boot.
Hey, race to the ships!
He took off down the hallway, the goose giving a honk roar and charging after him. Padme noticed with amusement that Anakin began to run faster, the pair causing other Jedi to break their serene composure and dive out of the way as they went.
Okay, Padme was saying as her goose towed her across the platform that led to her personal ship.
Typho was watching in concern from a safe distance, or trying to, with his remaining eye swollen from an unlucky hit of the feathered kind.
Are you sure about this, my lady? Typho called to her. snapped the goose, flapping its wings at him. Typho flinched.
Positive,
Padme called back, a massive yank from her goose causing her to stumble forward and land hard on her knee.
I'm okay,
she promised as the goose began dragging her up the ramp, eventually giving up and releasing the goose honking into the ship in favor of getting back to her feet and shooting Typho one last promising wave before hurrying up the ship's ramp. The sounds of honking led her to the cockpit, where she dreaded finding the goose shredding the dashboard or disabling the navigation controls. Her heart dropped when, sure enough, there was the goose perched in the pilot seat, pecking at what looked like the navicomputer. But her motivation for bringing the goose on the ship in the first place to test her hypothesis settled some of her panic.
Hey,
she said cautiously, approaching the goose at the dashboard with her hands raised like it was a grenade about to go off. Said the goose, dancing in place on the seat.
Did you do something to the navicomputer?
She asked, very, very, slowly moving her hand towards the computer to check.
Ow!
The goose had latched onto her hand again and yanked it. Over to the computer? Padme paused in trying to remove her hand from the toothed grip to see the coordinates that had plugged in.
I was right. Is that where my soulmate is? Mine and Anakin's?
She asked it. The goose spat out her now goose-spit-covered hand to... at her, bobbing its head in a figure eight so Padme couldn't tell whether that was supposed to be a yes or a no. She had heard these geese were intelligent, so if there was the slightest chance... Stay on Coruscant and wait. She snorted. Sometimes Anakin simply didn't think. The little voice in the back of her head reminded her that she might be seeing Anakin again when she got to wherever the goose had steered the ship, if her hunch was correct. Padme tried to squish it, just because she had been lucky enough to find her first soulmate beforehand in no way meant...
Stars.
It was literally a one in a trillion or more chance.
But he could be.
Padme shook her head, making shooing motions at the goot in her seat. Scoot, I need to pilot. The goose looked her dead in the eye and pissed on the seat. Padme sighed. All right, I guess I'm flying standing up. Maneuvering in front of the seat, she grabbed the steering yoke and began to guide the ship off the platform. Obi-Wan swore quietly at the sight of another pack of masked fighters and ducked behind a corner, hoping the geese would follow his lead. The geese did not follow his lead. There were shouts of alarm and twin trumpeting honks as his two murder birds took off down the corridor, the sounds of blaster fire bouncing right off them as they dove into the panicked group. Obi-Wan sighed, stepping out from behind his cover and leveling the blaster he had picked off the first person his geese had attacked. Trying to aim for not lethal but still incapacitating was difficult when he only had one working arm. But between his shots and the geese, the group was quickly down for the count. Obi-Wan hurried over to them, doing what he had done to all the others he had ran into on this massive freighter, and giving a quick once-over for what he truly needed, his lightsaber, which must have been taken from him, and or any kind of key stick that would lead to a ship of some sorts. Nothing. Blast. Obi-Wan and his feathered companions had been running slash limping around this massive barge freighter about the size of a full Star Destroyer, or larger, for almost half a day now. This had to be the Terror Cell's main base of operations, because the entire ship appeared to have been modified into half a miniature city, half base. Thousands lived here, and while he had been able to successfully make it to the hangar, he had found no ships to steal and no way to reach the escape pods. His geese, who were supposed to be leading him to his two soulmates, had not seemed particularly interested in leading him anywhere, more focused on taking out their furious rage on any terrorists they stumbled across. They had thrown a massive fit when Obi-Wan had tried to crawl into the vents, to the point of yodeling loudly and latching onto his foot and refusing to let go. But he figured that was more than being upset over being too large or too chaotic to fit. He truly did hope that the geese's lack of action, except in defense, meant their tracking ability was simply defective, and not that both his soulmates resided on this ship. Obi-Wan hadn't particularly been looking for any particular qualities in a potential soulmate, but he would prefer not to be forced to arrest them as criminals. If he could even find as much as a damn escape pod, he would be in a much better place. But Pods had yet to yield themselves, and with his geese having recently set a fire 2 decks below and alerting the terrorist to his escape, chances of being caught and locked up again were growing increasingly high. In his mind, the force bond between himself and Anakin glowed faintly again, and he relaxed slightly, running mental fingers over it in comfort. The one good thing that had happened so far was that once he had the force-nullifying cuffs off, Anakin's side of the bond had lit up instantly. His friend knew there was something wrong and was looking for him. Obi-Wan had figured that if he could find the freighter's bridge, there would be a chance he would be able to overpower whoever was inside and hijack the barge. But outside the doors were 5 of the security droids standing guard, and his geese did not seem eager to repeat the trick they did on the one in his cell. So he had been forced to retreat and play a game of hide-and-seek with what felt like every terrorist on this freighter for the last few hours. He had already almost been caught twice, and it wouldn't be long now. Speaking of, there was more commotion coming from down the hall, and with his sides aching, Obi-Wan grit his teeth and forced open a maintenance hatch in the wall, taking the opportunity to hip-check the first goose inside it and diving in after, the other following with an unhappy hiss, while the first began treading at the knee of his pant leg, seemingly out of spite. Closing the hatch, Obi-Wan listened, with blaster ready, as footsteps and voices sounded outside. The murmuring was urgent, frantic, and while he couldn't make much out, he swore he heard something about an unexpected arrival coming aboard. The sound faded away after, with the echoing of more footsteps. Obi-Wan not hesitating and taking off down the maintenance hallway, with the plip-plap of goose feet behind him. Anakin had been on edge since halfway to the Raksha system when he had felt the startling sensation of what felt like a plug inside his ear getting removed, allowing him to hear again. His bond with Obi-Wan was no longer clouded. They were still too far away to properly communicate, but he was still there. He was alive. Piloting was already difficult enough as it was, with him needing to peer over the stinking goose head that had been forced to sit in his lap. As the nondescript 3-person light flighter he had gone in was tiny in the cockpit, not built for geese, or really, any more than 1 of the 3 people. The goose did not agree with this assessment, as when he had tried to make the hellbird sit in the back, it had bitten him in the very sensitive part of his side and fought viciously until Anakin conceded to the lap sitting. Once inside, however, the goose had not complained, as Anakin punched in the estimated coordinates and steered them out. His ploy of keeping Padme on Coruscant must be working, if his goose wasn't stretching for him to find his other soulmate. When Anakin had finally come out of orbit, over Casa Major, was it barely an hour's journey? Maybe so, but it felt like a lifetime. Finding a giant barge freighter off in the distance that was partially on fire was not what he had been expecting. The Force was still humming clearly in his head, as it had been ever since the bond had gone live. And when Anakin had made the motion to guide the steering yoke away, the goose had hissed and clamped down on his fingers. Ow! Anakin jerked his hand back and promptly whacked it on the transparent steel canopy above him. We do not have enough space for you to be doing this. Yeah, I know. You want me to find my soulmate. It can wait, right? I need to find my master first. The goose made a snorting noise that almost sounded like it was laughing at him, and then bobbed its head in the direction of the smoking freighter. That's where I'm headed, Anakin told it. Luckily for us right now, but possibly unluckily for once when we get there. It seems there's already some sort of trouble going on. We're far enough out of range right now, they shouldn't have noticed us yet. If we go around and come in on the part that's already busted, they shouldn't be able to put any eyes on us. He didn't know why he was explaining this to the goose, as he steered the ship in a wide arc, around and towards the flames on the freighter. It felt an awful lot like talking to himself. And that was one of the few traits he hadn't picked up from Obi-Wan yet. Holding his breath, he angled in towards the flaming rear of the freighter, waiting for the anti-spacecraft weaponry to start shooting, or an angry ship to come swarming out to chase him off. But nothing happened. Exhaling in relief, he flew as close to the flames as he could before banking off and flying around the side of the freighter, examining the model and shuffling through his memory to try and determine where the escape pods would be. He knew how to knock one off with the right electrocharges without damaging the escape hatch, and he figured that this would be the best way to get on board as quickly and quietly as possible. More and more, he was sensing that this was indeed where Master Obi-Wan was.
I'm almost there. Hang on.
Finally, he reached the area where he swore he recalled where the escape pods were kept, only to find that there were none in the slots they were supposed to be in. Briefly, he considered the chance Obi-Wan had managed to escape and do this. It wasn't out of his master's impressive ability range by far, but something was repeatedly telling him he needed to board the freighter, so he doubted it. More likely, whoever owns this thing wanted a deal and bought a lower-priced ship that didn't have its escape pods anymore. Still, this just made Anakin's job easier, so he steered the ship until he was successfully docked with one of the escape hatches, shifting under the goose to unbuckle himself. Anakin said, "Now, I don't suppose I can convince you to stay here." Ah! The goose had whipped around and pecked him directly in the forehead. Hard. While Anakin's head spun as he tried to recover, the goose was launching off his chest and through the open hatch leading from the escape pod onto the ship.
"Wait, no! Don't, you stupid!"
Shaking off the headache, Anakin scrambled out of his ship and in through the escape hatch, up and running after the sound of loud honk howling. He skidded into a long gray corridor, looking around, only to hear more angry goose sounds down the hall to his right, and went tearing off in that direction. He got to the end of the hallway. Still no goose, but more loud noises around another corner. And this time, footsteps coming up behind him. Cursing, Anakin started running again, diving around the corner he had heard the goose from, and cursing even more when there was again no goose in sight. The footsteps had grown louder, so Anakin pressed himself to the corner wall, lightsaber in his hand, hackles only lowering when the group of robed mass people ran by him without turning down Anakin's corner. A faint, warbling honk sounded down the corridor, and Anakin sighed once more, taking off after his force-chosen curse of a bird. Again, no goose upon turning and looking. This continued for the next 10 minutes. He hated this. He could be looking for his master right now. But no. Instead, he was stuck on this literal wild goose chase, trying to avoid the squads of dark-clothed figures, so his carking murder bird didn't get him caught by the sleemos who had already managed to get the drop on a guy like Obi-Wan. He hated everything. A final honk, followed by yells and blaster fire, had him putting a burst of speed and rounding the corner to find his goose running around in circles, terrorizing a group of 5-masked figures who were frantically trying to stamp on the goose, shoot it with blaster bolts that just bounced straight off it, and getting themselves bit and knocked over by massive wings. One was already on the floor, and Anakin watched the goose jump straight into the face wrap of another, who went down with a scream. The others noticed him and began shooting, swearing when Anakin snapped out his lightsaber and began to advance, deflecting them with ease.
"Shit! There he is! I told you they said he had a goose with him!"
Anakin grimaced, realizing they must have noticed him somehow, batting away another shot and reaching out with one hand and flinging one into the wall. The others increased their blaster fire, only for one to shriek as Anakin's goose chomped on the blaster arm and jerked the gun to shoot their friend instead. With the shot one down, the remaining one with the blaster only had a second to try and yank their hand out of the goose's mouth before Anakin was grabbing him by the neck and slamming him to the ground.
"You're holding a Jedi here," Anakin snarled. "Where is he?"
The fighter's eyes bulged.
I don't...
Anakin's fists tightened for a second, the figure spluttering.
"Wrong answer. Try again. Where's the Jedi you captured?"
I'm not good at riddles," the fighter begged. "Right in front of me? I don't know." "Right in front of..." Anakin rolled his eyes.
"Not me, idiot. I'm not the one you captured. I'm looking for Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I know you have him. I'll ask you one more time. Where the hell is he?"
You're not... But you have a..." The fighter looked over at Anakin's goose in confusion, only to yelp when the goose let out an unholy shriek in their face.
"Shit, all right. I don't know where he is. He escaped his cell a couple hours ago. We've been looking for him ever since."
Anakin growled, bashing the lackey's head against the ground and knocking him out.
"So he did break himself out," he said to the goose, who immediately squawked at him and pecked him in the knee. "Ow!"
Anakin shoved the goose's head away, only for the crackling of the lackey's radio at their hip caught his attention.
"All units, come in. Unknown ship approaching. Prepare for potential assailants."
Oh, great. More unknown factors coming in. Just what Anakin needed. How wonderful.
Yelled his goose, startling him away from the radio. Anakin turned, looked at his goose, who met his stare dead on, continued to hold it as it slowly leaned down. Then, quick as lightning, snatched up Anakin's lightsaber he had left on the floor and began flying down the hallway from him.
Oh, fuck no, you little!
Anakin leapt to his feet and took off in a dead sprint.
This could not be happening. The goose did not just...
The signature swish hiss of a lightsaber igniting sounded down another hallway, followed by a chorus of screams.
Oh, my gods,
Anakin muttered, increasing his pace. In hindsight, maybe Padme shouldn't have decided to blindly let a force-conjured magical goose drive a ship, or at least not set in hyperspace coordinates, as when they finally dropped out of hyperspace, she had exactly 5 seconds to look at the giant wall of steel in front of her, scream, and yank the steering yoke to the right to pull their ship away from careening directly into the side of another ship.
Are you kidding me?
She shouted at her goose.
You nearly killed... Hey!
The goose had hissed back angrily at her, and was now nipping at her fingers on the yoke, trying to grab the thing itself and steer the ship back towards where it was.
No! Padme snapped. You are a goose, and you can't drive!
Wailed the goose, flinging itself into the transparasteel facing the large freighter they had almost hit and bouncing off it with a thud.
Padme sighed. Is that where you want us to go?
The goose screamed in her face, just as the ship suddenly gave a massive shudder, and the controls on the dashboard all began to light up and flash an alarm. Frantically, Padme began pressing buttons and attempting to steer away, only for the entire ship to shake again and start to inch slowly towards the Titanic, open maw of the freighter's holding bay, gaped wide to swallow them. The goose sat and did nothing while Padme scrambled, causing her to turn on it with a glare.
Well, I hope you're right about this, she told it. Whoever pulled the tractor beam on us apparently wants to meet.
She could feel her stomach churning with nerves as she spoke, eyeing the massive freighter typically used by pirates and smugglers to capture smaller ships like it had just taken hers. It had been a far cry, a fantasy, to consider that just maybe her other soulmate could have been Obi-Wan. But now she was more focused on simply praying that whoever they were wasn't an intergalactic criminal who would rather kill her. Pulling out her blaster, Padme moved out of the cockpit, goose on her heels. Shadows washed over the ship as it fully entered into the freighter's cargo bay, vibrating ever so slightly as it was set on the ground. A loud rapping on the closed gangplank made her tense, and she hurried over, weapon raised. She was all alone save for one indestructible goose, against who knew how many people. She doubted she'd have time to call for help. Oh well, guess I'm talking my way out of it. Taking a breath, she turned to her goose, who had been dead silent beside her, and motioned for it to wait behind the door.
You're my backup, okay?
The goose honked quietly, gently headbutting her hip.
Right,
Padme told it, raising her hood up over her head and pressing the button to open the gangplank. As it lowered, it revealed a group of about 5 figures swathed in dark clothing and cloth-wrapped heads, as well as 2 massive and deadly-looking security droids. She holstered her blaster and raised her hands.
Greetings, she called out. May I ask why I am being detained?
Who are you? Called back one of the masked figures. Why did you show up?
Padme debated lying for a moment before deciding her true identity was worth a lot more money as well as a higher chance of being left alive for the moment. My name is Senator Padme Amidala of the Galactic Republic and...
The Republic? The figure interrupted. You who they sent for the auction?
The auction?
Another masked figure elbowed him. Hey, I thought we promised those other folks we weren't selling to the Republic.
The first one whacked them with their blaster rifle.
We're selling to whoever pays the most. If the reps want to fork over more than this CIS to get a single one of their guys back, who are we to stop them?
Padme's mind whirled. These people took something from the Republic?
Someone?
The one masked figure who had gotten hit protested again.
But, we don't have...
Shut the criff up! Retorted the first figure, with the harder swing of the rifle, knocking them to the ground this time. The figure then turned back to Padme.
Sorry, Missy. You never answered my question. You here for the auction?
Yes, Padme replied immediately. I am.
Well, you done fucked up the timing, didn't you? We put it out that it was 2 standard days from now.
Said Padme, still thinking fast. They're holding someone here. Could that be... My apologies for the miscommunication. I thought...
And, said the figure, we didn't put out an official location yet. How'd you find us anyway?
The group was advancing closer now, and Padme resisted the urge to grab her blaster right away.
The Republic has its methods, she told them. Then going out on a limb, especially when you are in possession of someone who belongs with us. The blasters around her all clicked at once, and the head figure leaned in close. How much do you know exactly, little miss? I, said Padme, but the other figures were already circling around the end of the ramp. Do you think we could get more money if we took her as well? Someone was saying, and Padme was seriously beginning to worry she was about to get herself kidnapped as well and send Anakin into a fit. But then, there was the goose. A blur of righteous gray swooped past her head and into the face of the head mask guy, with a goosish blow of pure unbridled fury. Another one? Came a shriek from one of the other figures as they and the droids focused all fire on the goose. The goose's head snapped around, beak clutching a faintly sparkling eye socket of one of the security droids, and fixed Padme with a single solid... That was a run, if Padme ever heard one. Bracing herself, she leapt off the side of the ramp, landing in a crouch and firing between the neck plating of the first guard droid who spotted her. Its head blew off. Good. Padme yanked her hood back over her head and made a break for the gap where the fallen droid was, taking out two more figures with shots as she ran, bursting through the ring, then continuing to run as she made her way for the nearest door she saw. A crackling hiss of ozone she would know from anywhere echoing behind her forced her to stop in her tracks. No. No way. She turned around, expecting to find Anakin. Instead, her jaw dropped at the sight of the goose wielding a blue lightsaber. Obi-Wan yanked futilely at his sleeve tunic that was latched firmly in the mouth of one goose and being tugged rapidly down the hallway. His geese had been behaving normally, goose standard normal, at one moment, and then in the next the pair of them had had what he could only describe as a meltdown, howling loudly and running around in circles, tripping over each other and sending feathers flying everywhere. Then, just as randomly, they had turned on Obi-Wan, one grabbing his sleeve and the other shoving at him repeatedly in the backside, until he consented to being herded off down the hall. "You do realize I can walk for myself," he was complaining, as down the hall more shouts and blaster fire began to sound. Obi-Wan paused, confused for a moment as to why chaos had started without him, but his geese were releasing him and flying full tilt down the hallway and around the corner. Force! Why were there so many corners? Obi-Wan hurried after them, only for a blur of orange to come wheeling around the other end, pointing a blaster in Obi-Wan's face, at the same time he pointed his and theirs. It only took him a second to take in the familiar figure and Force presence before they were yanking their white hood off to reveal Padme Amidala, with the galaxy's biggest smile on her face. I found you! She breathed. Oh my stars, Obi-Wan. Hello? Obi-Wan was very confused. Padme, you're who they sent to find me? Padme shot him a very unimpressed look, though it was belied by the smile that couldn't seem to fade. I can see you're oh so excited by that prospect, Master Jedi. No need to look so alarmed. I'm not who they sent. Oh. Obi-Wan nodded like he understood. He did not. Then why are you here? Padme blinked, biting her lip as a look of uncertainty washed over her expression. Well, I... A... interrupted them as a gray force goose waddled around the corner, Obi-Wan's lightsaber in its beak. Oh, Obi-Wan said, as Padme's smile got impossibly wider and fonder. Great. The first of his friends to discover his force goose was one who had no qualms against teasing him for it. That's mine. As he bent to take his lightsaber from the goose, Padme coughed. That one's mine, actually. Huh? Obi-Wan began, but a series of blaster bolts flew past Padme's back, and she stumbled forward with a gasp. Hurriedly, Obi-Wan caught her, shielding her in his arms and igniting his blade in defense. He winced as she pressed against his wounds, though her soft presence in his arms felt oddly comforting. She was already pulling away, though, frown on her face. They hurt you. Obi-Wan waved her off. Hardly. There was an explosion, and they both jumped before honking sounded again, and out of the smoke that had been billowing out of the hallway Padme had come from, appeared a force goose. There was Padme's brilliant smile again. Yes, you see, I appear to have received... Obi-Wan avoided her gaze and looked just in time to see a third goose appear out of the smoke. He froze. He blinked. There were still three geese. My conclusion must have me seeing double. It must... Or...
Or... I told you, Padme said softly, reaching out for his hand. Obi-Wan was still so confused, he didn't even fight her taking it. Her fingers were red and swollen with what looked to be bird bites. The first goose was mine. We found your lightsaber on the ones who tried to stop us when we boarded. Obi-Wan opened his mouth. He closed it. Padme had a force goose. But this meant... He shook his head. I understand if you don't wish to pursue anything, Padme continued, running her thumb soothingly over his knuckles. But I believe that we are soulmates. Is that right? The last question she directed to the three geese who had congregated into a clump of judgmental black eyes on them. They said in unison, bobbing their necks just once in an unmistakable yes. Padme nodded back at them with a hum, turning again to Obi-Wan, warm brown eyes shining with what Obi-Wan recognized as hope. She's excited. For me. That I'm her... That we're soulmates. But what about... Obi-Wan inhaled sharply, trying to remain in control of the whirlwind his emotions were stirring into. You only have one goose, he pointed out carefully, not allowing himself to consider what this could mean. Who this could mean. I have two. Padme's hopeful expression took a hint of mischief. I did have two. I found one of them already. His breath catching in his throat, Obi-Wan creaked out, Oh? He wasn't going to think about this. He couldn't. There was no way in the galaxy that he could be so lucky that... Padme dipped her head. Yes. Her eyes looked up at him through dark lashes. He's the one the Jedi Council sent looking for you. He's been quite worried about you, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan needed to sit down. Oh, there was the ground. Ow. He was still extremely bruised. The ribs did not like that. Oh, no. Obi-Wan! Padme hurried to kneel beside him, taking his face in her hands. She really was quite pretty, Obi-Wan thought, as her face filled his vision to look him over. Anakin was as fortunate to have her as she was to have him. Anakin, he breathed out, and Padme's fingers on his face tensed momentarily. Yes, she told him, apprehension showing through her cheer for the first time in their encounter. How do you feel about that, Obi-Wan? He's already been the one constant in my life for so long. He's always been there, and now... Obi-Wan reined himself in. I don't wish to intrude on the two of you and your relationship. I wouldn't ask. He was cut off by Padme's laugh. Of course you already knew about us. Stars, we're horrible at this. Obi-Wan. She turned his face so she was staring directly into his eyes. Pardon me for speaking for my husband here, but I know I can say that the both of us would be delighted to have you. You wouldn't be intruding anywhere, I promise. Obi-Wan highly doubted that. His head hurt far too much to convince earnest-eyed Padme of this now, however, so he gently drew away from her, catching her hand again in his own, as her face started to fall. This is a lot to discover at once, he told her gently. Would you mind postponing this conversation until after we've gotten out of here? Padme's mouth opened for a moment, like she had something else to say, before stopping, pressing her lips together and nodding. Getting back to her feet, the beautiful woman who was his soulmate kept her hold on his hand and helped pull him up. Three geese honked happily at each other, and at them, running in circles around them as they made their way through the winding maze of the freighter's hallways once more. Obi-Wan's ribs and head, and everything, honestly, still throbbed in pain, but between the familiar comfort of his lightsaber in his hands and the warm press of Padme at his side, subtly allowing him to lean on her and take some of the weight off his injuries, he felt the best he had in however many days he'd been here. Looking over at her, their eyes met again, and he caught the slight hint of red in her cheeks as she smiled shyly at him. One of their geese honked again, and Obi-Wan abruptly remembered that if he wanted the geese to go away, he was going to have to kiss her at least once. Feeling his own face heat slightly, he quickly turned away and focused on the hallway in front of them. They walked in silence for another minute or so, before the shuffling of footsteps was heard, and after a shared look, Obi-Wan and Padme drew lightsaber and blaster, and began to face off against another troop of terrorists. How many of them lived on this damned labyrinth of a ship anyway? This one was larger than some of the other groups, but Obi-Wan and Padme now had additional geese and each other on their sides, so they were able to hold their own. How many more of these groups do you expect us to encounter before we get back to the ship? Obi-Wan called to Padme, deflecting another volley of blaster bolts. No idea, Padme shot back, literally shooting back and nailing a figure in the shoulder. I got lost almost the second I left the main hangar. I've been following the geese.
Obi-Wan gave her a deadpan look, and she fake glared back.
Hey, the goose led me to you.
Seriously? Obi-Wan asked.
Yep.
Padme shot around the corner. Do you have any clue where the hangar is? I found it once, but there were no ships there to steal, and... Wait a minute, am I actually seeing four geese now? As soon as Obi-Wan noticed the additional goose fling itself into the fray and taking down one of the figures with one kick, there was another distinctly not-goose shape skidding into view, kicking out one fighter's knees at the same time he whipped out a blazing blue lightsaber and sliced another gun in half, and force shoving them into the wall. Obi-Wan's breath caught, watching Anakin hold his own. Then, again, as he saw the very moment Anakin registered four geese flying around him and stopped where he was to count. Anakin had totally turned his back to one of the figures on the floor rising back up with one blaster pointed at his head. Obi-Wan didn't even think as he stepped out from behind the cover, braved the recently relocated shoulder to grab the blaster still on his belt, aimed through the pain, and fired. The figure went down. Anakin hilt-bashed the last figure in the head with his lightsaber and whirled around to catch Obi-Wan's eyes, hair wild and eyes wilder.
That's my soulmate, Obi-Wan thought faintly. That's Anakin.
Obi-Wan! Anakin called, stumbling over a goose who honked angrily and running down the hallway towards him with the flock of geese on his heels. Obi-Wan found himself frozen in place, unable to move. The moment Padme stepped out from behind the other corner, Anakin tripped again over nothing this time, flailing to regain balance and sliding to a stop.
Padme, why the hell are you here? I told you to stay on Coruscant!
Obi-Wan, are you all right? Anakin was moving for them again, as Padme was primly telling him,
Give me a decent reason to listen to your orders, Knight Skywalker, and maybe I'll consider doing it.
I was just trying to keep everyone safe, Anakin protested, prowling around Obi-Wan while looking him over and prodding at him through the Force bond.
Master, what's wrong? What did they do? They hurt you, but you're trembling in the Force. What's...
I'm fine, Anakin, Obi-Wan promised, trying to build his shields back up, all while attempting a wave of soothing energy through their bond.
I understand what you were trying to do, Annie, but it wasn't necessary, Padme was saying. I told you I was going to look for a soulmate, and I found him.
Obi-Wan felt Anakin freeze at the same time he did, forcing himself to meet Anakin's wide blue eyes. He watched his friend blink owlishly at him, at Padme, back to him, Padme again, the geese, and Obi-Wan once more.
You,
Anakin whispered, staring at Obi-Wan with an unreadable expression, face pale.
Those are your geese? You're my...
Yes, Obi-Wan cut in, unable to keep quiet.
Oh, stars, he hates this. Why wouldn't he?
So it seems, but Anakin...
I'm so sorry, Anakin blurted out, wringing his hands.
You're what? Obi-Wan asked, feeling like he was dangling over a crevice and slipping fast. Padme started.
Maybe we should...
wailed all four geese at once, like an air raid siren. And the next thing Obi-Wan knew, Anakin was getting knocked straight into him and sending them both tumbling over while a loud bang lit up the entire corridor behind them. Instinctually, Obi-Wan wrapped himself around Anakin in an attempt to shield him from whatever danger was afoot. But surprisingly, he felt the pressure of great wings spread around him as a goose tried to shield the both of them. Craning his head to the side, he could see Padme next to them and buried under a pile of three more geese, and the hall's emergency blast doors beginning to shut through the smoke, gradually cutting off the blaster bolts that had begun to rain on them. When the doors closed, Padme burrowed her way out of the goose pile.
I'm all right. How are you two?
I'm fine, Anakin replied, carefully sitting both himself and Obi-Wan up. This one needs to stop pulling heroics when he's injured, though.
Agreed, said Padme, brushing her orange tunic off and scooting towards them.
Obi-Wan huffed, blowing strands of hair out of his face and trying to shuffle away from where he was still awkwardly entangled with Anakin, who was not making it easy as he continued to paw and make faces at Obi-Wan's injuries.
Honestly, the both of you, he chided, batting away his friends, soulmates, hands.
He was very close to Anakin's face from this angle, he realized, looking into dark blue eyes.
Aye, Obi-Wan breathed, internally kicking himself. How eloquent, negotiator. Anakin's lip quirked. Hi, yourself. There were red bite marks on his face. Obi-Wan assumed they were from the geese. That didn't exactly seem like Padme's style. He reached out and traced one with his thumb. Anakin's eyes fluttered shut, and Obi-Wan found himself resisting the urge to let his hand linger. You're rather marked up as well, I notice, he managed to say. Anakin mirrored Obi-Wan's hand motion, sweeping a thumb gently over Obi-Wan's bruised eye, other hand hovering lightly over his injured ribs. If you're trying to tell me one of the geese did all that to you, I'm punting those little fuckers out of the airlock. Oh, please! Obi-Wan felt a laugh bubbling up despite himself, bruised body aching pleasantly with the tremors of it. Anakin was grinning too, and Obi-Wan lightly pushed his face away. Then a thought came to him. Why did you apologize earlier? Smile fading, Anakin held Obi-Wan's stare briefly before his gaze flitted away in a familiar act of nerves. I don't know what you mean. Anakin? Look, it's... Anakin huffed, scowling into his own lap. I know you don't like soulmates, and now you're stuck with me when I'm already a big enough pain in the ass. You don't have to pretend you aren't bothered by it just to spare my feelings. What? Obi-Wan poked incredulously at their bond, finding waves of apprehension, insecurity, disappointments, and joy, threaded through all the rest. Despite all his conflicting emotions, Anakin was happy about this. About Obi-Wan. Something inside Obi-Wan's chest lit up briefly, before he quickly extinguished it. But why would he consider himself undesirable? I'm also stuck with Padme, if you might have noticed. Are you so quick to disparage her? Obi-Wan pointed out, the woman in question making a bemused noise. Anakin blanched again, turning to his wife with pleading eyes. No, that's not what I... I know, Anakin, Padme told him, reaching out and grasping his hand reassuringly, before nodding back towards Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan shot her a grateful look for being willing to sit there and let the pair of them try and sort out their entire, years-long mess. As I was saying, you are very fortunate to have her, Obi-Wan continued, deciding to be bold and reach to rest a hand on Anakin's knee. And she is very fortunate to have you, as would anyone, so please don't ever think otherwise. Anakin's eyes narrowed, his gloved fingers landing hesitantly over Obi-Wan's hand on his knee. As would anyone, but not you? Obi-Wan barely resisted the urge to roll his eyes. You're making a lot of presumptions. I've only had this information for a scant few minutes. Could I have some time to process first? Contrary to your apparent belief, I have nothing against soulmates, nor against having one myself. Anakin sputtered, mouth working but no sound coming out. And, Obi-Wan added, making sure to smile so Anakin knew he was only teasing. Not all of us have been married for years, you know. I need to be able to think. Haven't you, though? Padme asked, with an odd note in her voice, and Obi-Wan paused. Haven't we what? Been married, Anakin grumbled, shooting his wife a look. Ignore her. She likes to tease me about this. It's because we live together, work as a team, look after a kid, like each other, have the bond and all that. Makes us sound kinda... Married, Obi-Wan finished faintly. Entire world rearranging itself to fit this new data into the picture because... Oh, shit. Like I said, though, it doesn't have to mean anything, Anakin rushed to add. I like things the way they are now. I wouldn't ask anything more of you. I'm just happy to... He hesitated, stroking the back of Obi-Wan's hand. I'm just happy to have you in my life, no matter how much we drive each other crazy, you know? I never want to lose that. Obi-Wan was glad he was sitting down, because the weight of all the truth behind Anakin's emotion was staggering. Padme slid closer to him as well, looking at him solemnly. You told me you didn't wish to intrude, and I told you that you couldn't. You're already a part of our lives, Obi-Wan. We're simply worried we'll be stepping on your boundaries. Obi-Wan wanted to laugh. The Force did not grant him luck like this. This wasn't how his life worked. There was no way that after all this time, everything would be this simple. Could it? And I thank you for that, Obi-Wan told Padme, coming to a decision. I thank both of you. Though honestly, I'm not too sure how exactly our situation would make our lives change. As you've both mentioned, Anakin and I spend much of our time together as it is. I enjoy my friendship with you, Padme. We can all carry on exactly as we were, the only difference being, soulmates would make is... We could love? Padme asked. Obi-Wan sighed. no Jedi can love. He shot Anakin a stop-feeding-her-false-facts look, receiving a petulant pout in reply. He sighed again. I was saying that we could make a commitment to each other above prior commitments, no matter what they were, as soul bonds are sacred. Like a marriage, Anakin said, gesturing between himself and Padme. Yes, the pair of you did seem to beat your geese to the point, Obi-Wan commented, though marriages are usually only for romantic partnerships, and... He trailed off in horror, not knowing where in the hells he was going with that. Blast it! Did he just accidentally proposition the two of them? He was going to blame the fucking concussion. You liked them before the fucking concussion, a small voice in the back of his concussed head pointed out. Yes, but they weren't supposed to fucking know that, Obi-Wan snapped back at it. The pair had turned to look at each other the moment Obi-Wan had said it, and now Anakin was looking at him with the same expression he made when he saw a particularly large spider. Obi-Wan rather wanted to die. I mean, we already told you we want you in our life, so... Anakin's voice was definitely climbing upward. That included the romantic stuff, if you want. Obi-Wan's brain did not compute. What? Anakin looked at Padme again, who radiated amusement from both of their panic. Obi-Wan was glad she was enjoying herself. We're saying that you're very easy to love, Obi-Wan, Padme told him, reaching out and taking his hand in the one that wasn't holding Anakin's, connecting the three of them. We'd be more than happy to love you, if you would permit it. Obi-Wan looked between her and Anakin, both staring at him with tentative, warm eyes, both presences twined tightly around each other, and yet with threads of that twine branching away. Reaching out for him, he had to ask. Anakin, he said, searching his partner's feelings. Anakin sucked in a breath. Well, we've kind of done everything else, you know? If we stayed exactly the same, except sometimes I'd get to kiss you and Padme without having to banish a magic goose, I wouldn't need anything else in the universe. I've kind of been a bit in love with you for a while, Master. Obi-Wan could feel himself starting to smile before the emotions even settled inside of him. You. It's always been you. How could it have possibly been anyone else? I think, he said, meeting both of their anxious stares. I think, as love is already there for me, it would be foolish to ignore it. Anakin's side of the bond went a-quiver like a live wire. We're doing this? Obi-Wan felt another laugh coming. He was so happy. Force help us all. We're doing this. Padme let out a tinkling laugh of delight, very carefully pulling Obi-Wan into a warm hug. She smelled sweet, clean, and her hug was just tight enough to be grounding, and yet not aggravating of his injuries. He could get used to this. I know I can't kiss you properly yet, because we need to show the geese to the archives for the records, but... Padme's soft lips slid briefly against his cheek. I'm glad it's you. I'm glad, too, Obi-Wan whispered back, pressing a kiss of his own to her hair. He looked over at Anakin, who was watching them with a faint blush and eager eyes. Obi-Wan cocked a brow, sending him a playful nudge in the force. Yes? Was there something you needed? Grin spreading across his face, Anakin was suddenly in Obi-Wan's space and wrapping long arms around both him and Padme, curly head nuzzling into the other side of his neck, breath ticklish against Obi-Wan's skin. Hi, soulmates. Padme giggled back, and Obi-Wan snorted, running a hand through Anakin's tangled curls. We're going to be this ridiculous all the time, aren't we? Sure are. Yep. Oh, damn. Anakin's voice buzzed in his ears. Have they been watching us this entire time? The three of them turned to see the four geese lined up in a row, watching them silently with their heads cocked to the same degree. That's not creepy at all, Padme commented. The geese's head snapped to their right, gazes zeroing in down the hall. Obi-Wan followed them to see a single terrorist frozen at the end. Sith spit. Hey! The fighter yelled down another hallway, waving their arms. They're down! Anakin pulled the blaster from Obi-Wan's belt and shot them, but the sound of raised voices and running footsteps had the three of them pulling each other back to their feet quickly and taking off again. As they ran, four geese yodeling at their sides... Anakin's hand brushed down his flank to put his blaster back on his belt. Don't get all huffy on me about uncivilized weapons. I saw you use this to save my life earlier. I wasn't going to say anything, Obi-Wan retorted, breathing heavily through the re-emerging pain throughout his body. "You're welcome, by the way." Anakin sent him a crooked grin, Padme coming up to his side. "How are you doing, Obi-Wan?" she asked. "Usually the pair of you are outrunning me by a bit." Anakin's side of the bond spiked with concern, and Obi-Wan realized belatedly that agreeing to the romantic part of a soul bond meant that both of his soulmates now had the right to worry endlessly over him in the name of love. Did it feel rather nice? Perhaps. But he was hardly an invalid. These two tended to overreact anyway. "I am fine," he complained, making an effort to run faster. "I did rescue myself, after all." "What do you call us?" Anakin exclaimed. Obi-Wan felt a smirk growing. "My backup." A goose flying over his head barked at him, and Obi-Wan laughed. "Yes, you are backup as well." "I did not drag my ass across the galaxy and back here in under 2 days to have my efforts lumped in with the demon birds." "Coruscant's barely an hour away, you know," Padme said. "I was on Agamar before that," Anakin whined at her, ducking to let a goose fly back and attack their pursuers. "Come now, Padme. Anakin can't help being a little late sometimes," Obi-Wan teased, turning around and batting away a stray blaster bolt with his saber. "Oh my god, see if I rescue either of you again." "That implies that we're going to get into trouble again. Don't jinx us, please." "How did you even manage to get into this situation, Obi-Wan?" Padme asked, grabbing both of their arms and tugging them around a side corner. "The ones in charge just greeted me as I came in, had your lightsaber with them, were able to be overpowered by myself and a single goose, and didn't even have a solid plan on how this auction of theirs was going to run." "They have piloting skills, know their way around a spaceship battle, and technology," Obi-Wan defended himself. "They got me by luring me down to the planet and setting off electropulse charges. They don't have any more of them, or so I think, as they attempted to use them on my feathered friend here, and set a rather large fire." "Is that why part of the ship is in flames?" Padme asked. "Precisely." Anakin swore. "Aren't those things illegal?" "Very," Padme confirmed. "But there's no way to apprehend and arrest the entire ship full of them now, with just the three of us." "Actually," Obi-Wan said, "there were only a couple of security droids guarding the bridge. Too much for myself and two geese. But maybe now with 4 geese and 3 of us, we could..." He shot Anakin a meaningful look, and after a quick mental back and forth, communication through facial expressions, Anakin said, "Yeah, you're right. That could work." "Hang on," Padme said, bracing herself against Anakin and kicking a lone assailant in the gut. "You two seriously aren't planning to try and storm the bridge on your own?" "We'll have the geese," Anakin pointed out, stepping around Obi-Wan's back to cover him with his saber. "Obi-Wan is injured." "This was my assignment. I'll be sent right back out to catch them anyway if I return home first. And by that time, they'll have moved, and it will take longer to track them down again. This is easiest." "You can't be serious," Padme protested, as Anakin and Obi-Wan began doing their silent communication thing again. "Actually, Padme's right," Obi-Wan said. "Thank you, Obi-Wan. I think the only way I can remember making it to the bridge is right through the area currently set on fire." Anakin looked pensive, starting to open his mouth. "You are not fireproof, Anakin," Padme told him firmly. Anakin closed his mouth. "Let's just get to the ship," Padme urged. "We can call for help there. No, wait. There's a tractor beam around the majority of the ship. We won't be able to get out at all unless we find the off switch for that." "Tractor beams don't cover the escape pod areas. That's part of the production safety standard," Anakin countered, swinging his saber at a door hatch and sealing them off from the enemy temporarily. "These guys jettisoned all of theirs a long time ago, so I was able to dock in an empty spot. I can fly us out into hyperspace before they even know we're gone, and have time to try and go after us."
"You found the escape pods? I've been trying to find those blasted things for the past few hours," Obi-Wan groused.
"At least they were already gone. You saved yourself disappointment," Anakin pointed out, shuffling the group down a side hallway.
"Do you remember where the pods are?"
Anakin faltered, not wanting to admit he had simply followed the geese. "I think I had passed something a little while ago, a turn, and then another one."
"Oh, yes, of course," Obi-Wan soothed mockingly.
"Hey, you were stuck on this ship longer and couldn't find..."
"There they are," Padme pointed out, halting direction in front of a row of escape hatches.
"I found them," Anakin announced. "You did not," Obi-Wan told him.
"Did too. No, I'm not playing this game with you."
Fine. Did two, though.
For the love of... No, you did...
Anakin? Padme interrupted, geese honking around her as she poked her head through the open escape hatch. There's only one seat in here. Oh, right. Anakin stepped forward. I took one of the stealthier military fighters. The cockpit's there, and you two are in luck that in the back there's another spot for forward and rear gunner.
Will there be room for the geese? Obi-Wan asked doubtfully. He knew the model Anakin was talking about, and there was barely any space for the three people needed for the tiny ship.
Anakin examined the four honking geese, chasing each other's tails for a second, then Obi-Wan and Padme, then inside the hatch.
We could definitely squeeze three, but not all four.
The solution came quickly and obviously, just as the following Skeeto swarm in his stomach did.
Oh.
Resolving not to trip on his own fucking tongue this time, Anakin turned around to face Obi-Wan and Padme, who were looking at him in concern.
Okay, solution, Anakin said, clapping his hands together. I'll need to be the one to fly us out of here, so that means you two get to share the back for the entire way home.
Padme rolled her eyes.
Entire way is an hour at most.
That's still 1 hour I have to be without either of you, Anakin retorted, pleased to see Padme's eyes soften at his words, and hear Obi-Wan's faint fond,
Anakin.
So? Anakin continued, drawing out the O and trying to calm his trembling extremities. That means that since you get to spend time with Obi-Wan then, Padme, I get to make two of the geese go away now, as we won't be able to fit all of them, and flying with mine on my lap is a pain. He finished the last sentence in one long rush of breath, carefully examining the faces of his two soulmates. Obi-Wan's expression hadn't broken, but there was a playful light in his eyes, and across their bond drifted a brief yet strong pulse of desire. Anakin shivered again, unable to meet his gaze. Padme was appraising them both with the tilt of her head.
I won't lie and say it won't make me impatient for my own kiss, but...
She paused, innocent grin stained with evil intent.
I also wouldn't complain. Go right ahead and don't mind me.
Obi-Wan laughed. Well, as long as we have the lady's approval. Don't we need to save the geese to be registered, though? I don't believe we have a recording device. Anakin shook his head. Not if you and Padme save yours to register. If she's connected to the both of us, our link is the definite third. It's all the proof we need.
Clever, Obi-Wan said, still managing to hold a devastating smile through a bruised face.
The approval set a part of Anakin on fire.
Well?
Obi-Wan asked, stepping forward. Anakin took steps of his own, meeting his master in the middle where Obi-Wan's lovely eyes were just a tad lower than his own.
The Force gave me you. You're meant to be with me.
Anakin hadn't even realized he had hesitated, simply drinking in Obi-Wan's presence along with Padme's hand that had migrated to his back, until Obi-Wan murmured,
"Come here,"
and reached up to cup Anakin's cheek, sliding it backwards until it was wrapped around the base of Anakin's head and guiding him into a kiss. It was supposed to be a brief kiss. They both knew this. Right after his lips connected with Obi-Wan's, Anakin could hear the twin honks and poofing noises that sent his and Obi-Wan's geese back to wherever they came from.
But
Obi-Wan's hand was in his hair, tight and perfect. The small groan Anakin could hear vibrating in the back of his master's throat made his toes curl. The outside cloud of Padme's desire was growing fast, drifting around them and enveloping them and igniting Anakin's own emotions even further.
And Obi-Wan was an extremely good kisser.
Sensation swept over Anakin as Obi-Wan's lips gently caressed his own with a gentle suction, moving in and out like the tides on the edge of the sea, ready to drag him out and consume him. The chills rolling down his spine made him lightheaded, in need of air, and as soon as he gasped, there was the slick slide of a tongue tracing along the line of his lower lip. Obi-Wan's other hand was rested against Anakin's hip, thumb stroking back and forth over the sharp edge of his bone. All this stimulation at once, and this was nothing. Oh, sweet Force, they were just beginning, was pushing him further and further out of his body and into the Sith-damn spiritual realm. Until a particularly skillful stroke of tongue by Obi-Wan over the roof of Anakin's mouth, combined with Padme's single finger dragging down his back, and the hand grasping his hair giving a firm tug, forced an embarrassing, high-pitched noise out of his throat. Hurriedly, Anakin stumbled backwards out of the embrace, hand over his mouth while still in partial shock. Obi-Wan hadn't moved from his spot, peering at Anakin with what Anakin could recognize through their heightened bond as nervousness. Padme was standing between them, eyes dancing between them uncertainly.
All right? Obi-Wan asked.
All right, Anakin found himself echoing incredulously, needing to walk forward and give Obi-Wan a second kiss, relishing the surprised grunt Obi-Wan made upon impact, followed by the happy twining together of their auras wrapped up inside of each other. There's your answer, Obi-Wan. Padme's laugh was a reminder for Anakin to break the kiss to turn and kiss her as well. His wife continued to chuckle through their kiss, not letting him get too far before slipping away from him. Aren't we supposed to be escaping, husband of mine? Give him a moment, Obi-Wan teased, and Anakin had to glare at his stupid, handsome face that was still looking good while covered in bruises, and also now had that smug smirk edged in sharpness, lilting crookedly to the side. I'll leave you both here, Anakin threatened, unable to keep looking at either of their faces while they were being like that. More voices began to shout in the distance. Oh, Anakin muttered, hurrying for the hatch. I'm just going to get in and disconnect, and then pull up just a bit so the back can open up, and then you and the birds can get in. They'll have to sit on your laps. Obi-Wan and Padme watched together while he scurried inside, yelling back that he won't leave without you, turning to each other while the geese prowled around each other, nipping at the hems of their tunics. Padme hooked her pinky finger around Obi-Wan's, swinging their arms together. You know, an hour back to Coruscant in separate seats, we'll be sharing with stinking birds. She cut off with a gasp as Obi-Wan stuck his hand in the mouth of a goose, trying to bite at her leg for it. Hey, careful! He's injured! Obi-Wan did roll his eyes at this. You say it like the word invalid. Surely not that bad, Padme teased, lightly taking his freshly bitten hand and cradling it between her own. As I was saying, since we'll hardly have the comfortable ride back home, you still owe me a decent kiss of my own, Master Jedi. Obi-Wan smiled, raising her hand to his lips and kissing it. I shall keep that in mind, my lady. Padme's smile was gorgeous, but then the geese were honking and the voices were right outside the hallway leading to the escape pods, and for once Anakin was right on time as the lock hissed with the sound of a ship locking into the pod hatch again. In you go, Obi-Wan told Padme, guiding her into the hatch, and the geese next, dodging more hissing and nips, and diving after them just as the blaster bolts began singing into their corridor. He landed directly on one of the geese, who shrieked angrily and further aggravated Obi-Wan's injuries as he was made to nudge it out of the way, all while trying not to aggravate his recently relocated shoulder, and shove his way into the seat, all while goose claws dug at his leg and almost caught him in the eye. Feathers flying over his shoulder, more angry squawks and muffled cursing from behind him, told Padme was facing the same problem as he was. Force. Padme was indeed wonderful. But Obi-Wan was not a good enough man to honestly say the only reason he looked forward to kissing Padme was Padme herself. As the canopy closed and the ship maneuvered away, Anakin's voice sounded over the headset Obi-Wan had awkwardly crammed over his concussed head. Oh, he should definitely get this looked at. Well, yes. Perhaps Padme should do most of the gunner's jobs. How is everyone back there?
Hanging on, Padme reported.
Literally, Obi-Wan added. Our friends have clawed feet and they're digging into my thigh.
Sorry, Master, Anakin responded, steering them around the massive hulk of the freighter.
No need for apologies, Obi-Wan exhaled, trying to casually address the goose in his lap. The goose hissed, but still made no motion to actually hurt him. No motion at all, actually. The damn thing wouldn't move. However, the goose brought us all together. I can't be too upset.
Obi-Wan finished.
Good, Anakin replied. Remember, you just said you can't be too upset with me, though.
Why?
Obi-Wan and Padme asked at the same time. Obi-Wan's internal calculators for predicting Anakin's bullshit were picking up speed.
I may or may not be about to try and fly above the tractor beam, get us out of the freighter bridge, and then bomb it.
Anakin replied, casually as you please.
It can't run away if it can't control itself. We can send someone right back for it. You can rest, Master.
I like this plan, Padme spoke up. I can help drop it once you get over the position.
Obi-Wan found this plan lacking in several aspects, but Anakin's mind wrapped warm around his own made him more susceptible to convincing. It had been a long few days, and stars was he tired. If the bridge plan could get this job out of the way faster...
Are you sure you can outfly whatever defensive precautions they will have in place?
He asked.
Why, Master?
Obi-Wan could hear the familiar sunshine-lit smirk curled across Anakin's mouth.
We're soulmates. You should know me by now. Have faith.
We're soulmates.
What have I gotten myself into? Obi-Wan Fo lamented, sending a brush of exasperated affection across the bond. Anakin brushed back against him fondly. Think of it as another adventure. All right, hang on, everyone! The ship banked hard to the right, Obi-Wan's stomach dipping with the movement and with nerves both. Padme's hand reached around their seats, and Obi-Wan took it, following Anakin's instruction and holding on tightly. Let this new adventure begin, agreed his goose.